Once again, thank you for the invitation. I just want to mention that I think that prayer for the government is so important. You know, the Bible says, first of all, that I urge the supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high places, that we may live a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I always have the privilege of working elections. Tomorrow I'm going to be working 15 hours. I start at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'll probably finish at 9. I think that's 15. I'm not too sure, but anyway. And I ask that you might pray for me. And you know, it's wonderful that we as Christians, we have a duty to tell them about the Lord. I can remember one time I was working at the election, which I've always worked at provincial, federal by-elections. And the person came to greet all of us working, one of the people who were running. And he took my hand, I took his hand, and he says, thank you for serving. And I held his hand, and he wanted to let go. I held his hand, I wouldn't let him go. He wanted to let my hand go. I said, you know, I just want to tell you that I'm praying for you. I've had about 4 phone calls recently from different parties, different groups, different political parties. And they said, can we count on your vote? I said, I don't tell who I vote for, but I want you to write in your books that I am praying for so-and-so. And they said, okay. I said, no, just don't say okay. I want you to write down that this person that you just phoned is praying specifically for your candidate. Okay, write it down. Okay, I wrote it down. Okay, goodbye. So I think that we can certainly tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ when they phone us up, because they're phoning us, they're bothering us in a way. And it's a privilege that I have to tell them that I'm praying for them. I won't tell them who I'm voting for, and I'm not telling you either. But I'll tell you this, I pray specifically, and from those verses and other verses, that gives us the whole outlook of it is so important. Well, it's good to be here. I have a message this morning that is very, very practical. Very practical. I am not a theologian, but I'm a practical theologian, if I could use that word. I love to try to adapt the Word of God, to apply the Word of God, to interpret it. Sure, I get into the Greek and the Hebrew, and I look at all the commentaries and everything else. But when the Lord speaks to me through a specific passage, whoa, I get so excited. And I mean that, I get so excited because it's something practical, something that will help me, encourage me to live the Christian life. And I've been going through Acts this summer, and as I said, it's just so wonderful how God is speaking to me. And I trust that this message today, which is not an interpretation, it's an application. We are going to try to apply this passage to our everyday life. And I think that's so important. So we'll get our brother to, we'll share the screen, and we'll see if we can get this thing up and running. And here we are, yes. Boy, the technology, isn't it wonderful? Especially when it works. Fantastic. The storms of life. The storms of life is the title of my message today. And you know, there's a lot of storms in life, that's for sure. We've been going through a very heavy storm recently, haven't we? Oh, there was a storm yesterday in Burnaby anyway. Boy, the wind, the rain. But there's storms in life. And while I was reading and studying chapter 27 of Acts, I came up with the idea of the storms in life. The storms of life are in life. And I believe in this passage in Acts chapter 27, turn with me please to it. It refers to those difficult times in which we are living and which we seem all is lost. The pandemic has affected me quite a bit, but I know my Redeemer liveth. It refers to those difficult times in life when we want to give up. Enough. Basta, we say. Enough is enough. But God is with us, and he's always encouraging us. Acts 27 is a great chapter to read during life's difficult times, because they're going through a storm. They're going through a physical storm, but I want to talk about it, a storm in our lives, everyday life. All Christians go through periods when we don't feel as if God is with us. Why, God, did you allow so-and-so to die? Why, God, did so-and-so lose his job? Why? That's when we have to lean on the truths of the Word of God. God is still there. It is simply a time of testing. Time of testing. And my message this morning, we're going to be talking about anchors. Anchors that hold. I find six anchors in Acts 27 that will help us to brave the storm. Why do we need these six anchors? Because many times in life's storms, we get shipwrecked. And I don't like to get shipwrecked. But if we hold on to these anchors, we can get through the storm. We can get through the storm. Now, many have experienced wrecks today. Today, in our society, homes are being shipwrecked. Satan loves to break the homes up. Satan loves to rip them apart. Wrecks in marriage. During the pandemic, there's been many, many, many divorces. And there's lists and lists of all the things that have been wrecked during the pandemic. Wrecks of family. How about of your faith? People haven't been going to church, and so they sort of get lukewarm, and they just sit back, and they say, well, we don't have to go. Shipwrecked jobs. Of friendships. There's so many shipwrecks today. But I believe that in Acts chapter 27, there's six things completely which I've never seen before. I've never grasped before, but God spoke to me through the Word of God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, and I want to share them with you. Now, I must say, how to recover from a shipwreck. There's lots of books how to avoid shipwreck. There are lots of books out there. Lots of books. There's a lot of books out there. You know, the self-help books. I enjoy computers. I enjoy internet. I read a lot on the internet. I Google a lot. Google. But you know, I survived this. You know, I want to become a survivor. Do you want to become a survivor? Now, if you read, let's go back to this. If you read all these books on shipwreck, on wrecks to be a survivor, if you read all these books, You won't survive. I'm telling you right now, you can read all of these books, psychology, psychiatry, all of these things, it won't help you. If you want to be a survivor, you've got to read the Word of God. It is the principal thing we find in God's Word, the helps, teachings, ideas that will help us survive. I want to survive the storm. I mean, I've heard two or three people already this morning saying, when will it stop? I mean, I couldn't even go into Starbucks this morning, sit down and go over my message. Last week, I went into a place and they asked me for my passport. I had to take out my phone and show them my passport so I could go into a restaurant. When is it? Enough is enough. Enough. But you know, God is working through these trials and times. And you know what? In our passage, God says something. God says, do not be afraid. Dear friends at 16, don't be afraid. And in verse 22, it says, and now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship, material things. For they stood by me this night, an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid. Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he told us. So I can tell you on the Word of God, don't be afraid. Don't give up. There's different words, different sayings here, different terminology. But the gist of the matter is, don't be afraid. And if you stick to these six anchors that I'm going to share with you today, you're going to get through the battles of life. I'm 76 years old, and I know I look 56. You don't have to keep saying that, Barbara. I've gone through so many storms, you wouldn't believe it. We were talking about this lady having a hip. Well, I've had two hip operations here. This is all metal. This side, metal twice. This all metal once. This knee, all metal. Four hernias. 2 years ago, they took my heart out, took a look at it. I think they put it back in because it's there now. So I've been through a lot of problems. But God has always been with me. Always. I've let him down many times, but he has never let me down. You know, the Bible over and over says, like in Matthew 17:7, do not be afraid. Matthew says it, the tax collector. How about Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, don't be afraid. Verses after verses, how about Mark chapter 5:36, do not fear, only believe. Only believe what the Bible tells you, and you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. How about Joshua 1:9? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We were talking about the vaccine recently, and I'm not going to get into that. But you know, I've been to 75 different countries, and God has protected me every one of those countries. I mean, I had to have maybe about eight. We have a little book about eight different vaccines because you can't go into Cote d'Ivoire if you've been into Senegal. You can't go into Senegal if you've been to Egypt. You can't be in Egypt if you go to South Africa. You have to have all these vaccines. But God has been with me, and I didn't fear. People would say, well, all that flying, aren't you afraid? I said, no, it's a win-win situation. If God takes me home, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? These are precious verses. Look at this one. Jesus says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, I have peace. You know why I have peace? Because I have the Prince of Peace. And if you don't have the Prince of Peace, even you people out there in Zoom land, if you don't have the peace of the Prince of Peace in your life, who is Jesus, then you won't have peace. We're talking about sleep earlier. Well, I sleep at night, just like you all do, because we have peace. Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. Now, what is there in this story of the shipwreck that can help you get through life problems? Well, first one, again, I don't think I'm stretching the truth. Let's look at verse 28. They took sounding again. Now, when I read that first, I had to look in the dictionary, I have to admit. Here's what it says exactly, verse 28. And they took soundings and found it was 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they took soundings again and found it was 15 fathoms. They feared it. And it goes on. Now, how can we apply this? How can I apply this to my life? What are they doing here? They're testing. They're testing to see where they are. They're testing to see if they're in the right place at the right time, at the right moment. They're testing. Now, how can I apply that? How can you apply that? How can that help you in your everyday Christian life? Well, it makes me think of this. We have to examine ourselves, dear friends. We have to examine ourselves. Just like those sailors had to put down the sounding equipment to see how deep the water was, we have to test ourselves. The Bible tells us very distinctly, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do not know yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Dear brothers and sisters and friends that aren't my brothers and sisters, but are my dear friends, you have to test yourselves. We have to make sure we're part of the family of God. Do we really believe? Are we really in sync with God? Just like the sailors had to examine where they were, their positions, their situations, we have to do the same thing. So that's the first application in this story. Think of it when you get home this afternoon, just before you have your afternoon siesta. Or your afternoon coffee. Examine yourself. How are you doing? How are you doing in your Christian experience? How are you faring? How are you resolving the problems in life? We have to examine ourselves. Examine. Many verses says that. Lamentations 3:4. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Are the things in your life, which we're going to talk about a little later on, that you have to let go of? You got to examine yourself. 1 Corinthians 11 says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and the cup. Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, but let each one test his own works. Psalm 139:23, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, these are beautiful verses. Sometimes I don't like them, though. Hey? I mean, we say it picante. I don't know how you say it in Mexicano, but we say it in Argentina, picante. It's spicy. It's, I don't want to examine myself. I'd rather examine Trevor. I'd rather point the finger at Trevor. Excuse me for using an example, but what can I say? But are you with me? That is so much easier to say, well, but it says here to examine yourself. And that's what the sailors had to do. They had to examine their position. They had to look how it was so good. Write that down. If you make a note, put a note. If you've got it on your phone, underline it with pen or so. Yeah, that's good. With your phone, write it. Yeah. Take a picture up there. Yeah, that's a good idea. I tell people to do that. I do it all the time. Then I don't have to write notes. My spelling's terrible anyway. And what else can we see in this verse? Because, you know, it's a subtlety. Whoa! Look at verse 29. Verse 29, it says, then fearing lest we should run ashore on the rock, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed. That's the second thing. We have to pray, dear friends. Prayer is an important part of our Christian life, our Christian experience. One's prayers, like, should be developed. Like we heard what Harold said, he has prayer lists. I have prayer lists too. I have a prayer board. And some of you are on it. I have your directory. And I pray for you. I don't know you all. I haven't phoned you. I haven't sent you emails. I haven't sent you any letters. But I pray for you. I have your directory. We have to pray for one another. We have to pray for ourselves. Prayer is so important. It develops us. Not only does prayer affect our lives and the lives of others, but it's also a way of communicating with God and grow in our relationship with Him. Do you want to grow? I want to grow. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be more like Christ. And one way of doing that is praying. See, God speaks to us through His Word and the working of the Holy Spirit. And we talk to God in prayer. We were quite active recently in prayer walks. And I just signed up this morning at 7 o'clock. I'm going to spend a whole week walking around my neighborhood praying. Praying. Lord, these are new people in the neighborhood. Pray for them. That little kid over there. Lord, I'm going to pray. Go on a prayer walk. Go on a prayer walk. Write down your prayers. What does the Bible say about prayer? Pray without ceasing. You don't have to get on your knees. I can't anyway, but you don't have to get on your knees and pray. It helps concentrate and so on. I usually just sit down, but I can't sit down now. Then I'm not on the screen and people in Zoom land don't see me, so I have to try to behave myself and stay here. But you understand what I'm saying? Continue, it says in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same way thanksgiving. Continue. Pray without ceasing. It should be a part of your life as you drive down the road. Just don't close your eyes. When you're driving your car and you pray, don't close your eyes, please. Please. You're causing accident. How about Acts 2:42? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful. You see the importance of prayer? Are you with me? Wow. These sailors, first they had to examine themselves. They had to examine themselves where they were. They had to look inwardly and say, where is that boat? Where's the ocean? Where's the rocks? And then they prayed. Are you a praying Christian? I'm not a long prayer myself personally. I don't sit down there and pray for an hour. I probably fall asleep. I'm not spiritual enough, but you know what I mean. But I do pray without ceasing. And I pray for you, and I hope you pray for me. Pray for me tomorrow. I've got 15 people that I'm in charge of. I've got 15 people for 15 hours. Well, I 15, I didn't notice that. That could make a sermon, 15, 30. Anyway, pray for me. Because I want to be a witness for Jesus. I can remember the first time when I used to do elections, you put something on the ballot box. So I took my big black King James Bible and I put it on top of my hole in the box, you know, you put your ballot in. Well, the first supervisor, I wasn't a supervisor at that time, I was just starting out in it, and they told me I couldn't do that, but I didn't fight it, but pray for me, and I'll pray for you, that's for sure. Let's continue. Let's look at a few other things here now. This is very, very important. Look at verse 31 there. Follow along, 31. What's it say in 31 there? Only those who remain in the ship will be saved. Stay in the ship. You know, I looked at that and I said, Lord, what are you telling me? What are you trying to tell to me? Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. And I wrestled with this. I mean, you know, sometimes preachers, you know, they sort of stretch the truth to make a point. Paul says to the centurions and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, I'm going to be preaching to the choir right now. And I'm not judging you people out in Zoom land. Okay? Stay in the ship. You know, one of the anchors, and I believe this, is your local assembly. I've worked with Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Samaritan Purse. I've been on the board of directors of the Gideon International, Child Care International, Lighthouse Ministries. I could go on and on, but I've always stayed with the local church. That's God's institution, if I can use that word. Stay on board. So as I said, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. And God bless you. I don't know whether, brother, when you pray and you thank God for the people who are here, I thank God for you here too. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But Paul says that they had to remain in the ship would be saved. Now, we're applying the idea that we have to continue. We have gifts. Each one of you here have different gifts. I don't know if this is being translated, maybe not, but when it's translated, we've got people traveling. Roy back there, he's got the gift of technology. We've got the beautiful people in here leading us in worship. We've got people up here giving announcements. We have people up here praying. Everybody has a different gift. And those gifts are for the edification of one another in the local assembly, in the local church. I'm convinced that we have to stay on board. And you've got to pray for those people who can come that won't come anymore. Again, I'm not putting any guilt trips on anybody out there in Zoom land. There's a lot of health issues here and so on. But there's a lot of people I know personally that aren't going to go back to church because it's much better just to stay at home and take it easy and have a cup of coffee and you wear your pajamas and just have to change the top. Can you imagine? I preached a couple of times with a white shirt and tie on and my pajama bottoms on. Shh, don't tell anybody that. So stay on board. Keep doing what you're doing right now. I mean, I wash my hands 3 times here. I wear my mask. I try to keep a distance. But I do take my mask down when I have my coffee. What else? What else? Well, what's it say in verse 34? Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival. Nourishment. Wow. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks for it again to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, there were 276 people on the ship. So they had eaten enough and so on. How can we apply this? It's one of the anchors. Prayer is important, but we got to get nourishment. It says in the Bible, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only way we're going to grow is through reading the Bible. I can remember my first Bible was the Gideon New Testament in grade 5. And I took that home, I read it, and I read it. And you know what else happened that same year? At Amel Island Bible Camp, they had me do an Emmaus course. So I took that Emmaus course, what the Bible teaches, and I did it. Then I did another one, and another one. And why did I do it? So I get brownie points? No, I did it because I wanted to grow. And then I did another one, and another one, and another one, and another. I did 40 correspondence courses. Oh, I so enjoyed it. And I was telling our dear sister here that I had trouble in school. I passed on trial in grade 2, 4, and 6, and flunked grade 8 twice. The same grade, you have to flunk twice. You got to finish. I'm not use that word. You got to not too intelligent, but anyway, we had problems, family problems. I went to the school, but anyway, what I'm saying this for, and then I took 4 years on the side for a bachelor's degree, and then a master's degree, and then a doctorate degree, and I'm still not finished. I don't know. I want to know about Jesus. And if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to be a different person than Fulano Mangano Sultano, we say in English, it's, I guess, it's Peter, Paul, or John or something. But if you want to be different than those guys, get into the Word of God. If you don't want to be shipwrecked, take nourishment. The Bible is nourishment. And that is so important in your life. And what is that nourishment, dear friends? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's the anchor. That's the anchor. Please, please, if you want to grow, you've got to get into the Bible. Well, what does the Bible say about the Bible? Well, faith. Your faith will grow, Paul says in Romans 10:17, that faith comes to you when you're exposed to God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you read the word of God, you get more faith and you grow. I wish I was a spiritual growth as I am physically. You know, I'm a little heavy, and I still have to lose a little weight, but you know, we've got to get that nourishment. What else does the Bible say? Your faith will mature when you read and study the Bible. The Holy Spirit is empowered to instruct you, and the result is spiritual maturity. You find that in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. How about your faith? Your faith becomes stronger. Jesus taught that when you hear and live by His word, applying His teaching to your life, your faith becomes like a bedrock foundation. He taught that in Matthew 7:24-27. The importance of the Word of God. Importance of the Word of God. You know, and then notice verse 38b, the second part of verse 38. What's it say there? Let me just find it. I think it's still in my Bible here. It says that they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. How can we apply that to my life? Well, what is God trying to say to you and I this morning? They lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. Well, I was praying about that and praying. And you know, I thought, well, you know what it could be? It could be that we have to get rid of excess baggage. Maybe we have to, you know, today your baggage carousel is not at the airport, it is your mind. How can we reach the place God has for us when we are so burdened down by all the load of baggage we have collected over the years? Not scriptural baggage, just baggage. Baggage like fear, anger, bitterness, jealousy, confusion. These are all baggage that we carry, that we don't have to carry. Get rid of it. Leave your heavy burden at the cross. And Cynical 3, we used to sing that one. This baggage holds us down. It stunts our growth. It doesn't give us freedom. We have all picked up baggage along the way in life. We probably pick up baggage every day in some way or another. But we've got to get rid of that baggage, of the boat. It's an anchor, dear friends. It's an anchor. Look at the anchor. Get rid of the baggage. You know, some people say what you have to do today because of all the confusion, just sit there and clear your mind. No, the Bible says fill your mind. Don't empty your minds. You've got to fill your minds with the Word of God. Get rid of the baggage. Put in good baggage from the Word of God. Do you see that in Scripture? I hope you do. I think it's great. Let's look at a couple of verses. The Bible just said, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How about letting go of sin today and picking up freedom? Do you feel guilty? Confess it, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Make a 180 degree turn and get rid of that. Oh, but you know, I had an abortion when I was 14 or 15 or 16 or 17, and I can never forgive myself. Sure we can. God will forgive you if you confess it. Oh, but you know, I was in prison and I did this, that, and the other thing. And get rid of it. That's baggage that you don't need, that I don't need. And if we want to grow, we've got to get rid of that baggage. How about the baggage of anxiety? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with gratitude, making your request known to God, saying, what anxiety was great within me, your counsel brought me joy. What is the baggage you're carrying that's holding you back? It's like a ball and chain. You want to move ahead, but you can't move ahead. That baggage, get rid of that baggage. How about the baggage of anger and bitterness? Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Proverbs 29:11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise brings calm to the end. Ephesians 4:3 saying, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as Christ forgave you. This is reality. This is practical theology. Baggage of worry. You should keep him in perfect peace, whose name is mind is stayed on me. Baggage of uncertainty in the future. Baggage of fear. These are all baggages that we carry every day, and you don't need to. You can live free because of what Christ did for you. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure where the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot fail, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We're going to listen to that. We're going to sit back and meditate. Will your anchor hold, dear friend? See, our anchor should be anchored in the Lord. He is our hope. He is our future. Jesus is that hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. How's your anchor? Is it holding? If it isn't, talk to somebody. Phone up Harold, phone up one of the deacon, phone up one of the elders, phone up one of your friends that you know love the Lord, and say, look, at my anchor is sort of slipping. It's not holding. On Christ the solid rock I stand. We're going to just listen to a couple of short pieces now, and just maybe close your eyes and think about your anchor.